So, dear devotees, we are welcoming everyone to a festival. Festivals are very precious, and we all know, even more than ever before, how that is true. We've all gone through a little bit of fasting from feasting, and it's a little austere. Because feasting for us is a lifestyle. It's some people, they live a regular life and sometimes they feast. But we always feast and sometimes live a regular life. that is our way. And what can I say? So it's been, to be honest, it's been terribly boring. But we are here for Janmashtami, taking shelter of Krishna, of the holy name, of the association of Vaishnavas. We pray that we may have a wonderful festival to honor Lord Krishna, because nothing is more wonderful than that. Krishna himself, Krishna Swayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared on this planet not long ago at all. If Lord Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma, you know, that's a very, very long period of time, right? 3.4 or something trillion years, or 4.3. And it's very long. And just only 5,000 years ago, in the day of Brahma, only 5,000 years ago. So that's virtually speaking so close that Krishna's presence is so strong. So, to celebrate his appearance day at this time, at this most auspicious time, is a special blessing. To take birth at this particular time, when Krishna appeared in the Dwapara Yuga, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the Kali Yuga, to appear, to take birth at this time is most auspicious. Do not think that this is an unfortunate birth. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Kali Yuga is a black background, right? Just like when you have jewels, you put them on a black background, then they shine even more. So, we have the jewel of Krishna consciousness, and it's flourishing in our life. That is the essence. So, at this time of the appearance of Lord Krishna, we will remember. We remember how, at the time of Krishna, the world was overburdened by military phalanxes, by unwanted kings who were exploitive, who were demoniac, and who were a burden to the earth. We recall how Bhumi, the earth personified in the form of a cow, went to Lord Brahma, presenting all the misery, right, that was there, and how she could no longer bear this burden. And Lord Brahma felt very much for Bhumi's situation and went along with Bhumi and the demigods to the ocean of milk, where Lord Kshirodakshaya Vishnu was resting. And they prayed to the Lord, And the Lord then communicated to Lord Brahma, within the heart, within his consciousness, a message that soon he would appear. Soon he would appear, and all the demigods should take their birth in the Yadu dynasty. So, the advent of Krishna, prior to Krishna's appearance, leading up to that situation. We will look over the next few days at so many aspects of Krishna's appearance, Krishna's presence on this earth. Oh yes, we will remember what a powerful demon Kamsa was. I mean, Kamsa defeated Indra. You realize that? Kamsa took the throne of Indra, chased him off his throne, took the throne to Mathura, put it there. Yes. Once, Jarasandha, who was an emperor, not just a king, but Jarasandha, who was an emperor and very powerful and worshipped by many kings, Jarasandha was touring with a big army. And at that time, there was a huge elephant. And this elephant was also accustomed to drinking alcohol. Yes. They would, during battle, give the elephants alcohol to make them mad. Right? So that they would just lose all control and fight like mad. This elephant was particularly big. This elephant even had a name, as elephants do. And this particular elephant was known as Kuvalaya Dipa. This elephant then was Jarasandha's elephant. And one day, this elephant, being a little tipsy, was kind of breaking loose and getting out of control. This elephant went wild, and the trainer could no longer control it, and the elephant ran away and ran straight to the city of Mathura, and there started to break the city, started to just rip off things, smash them down. When Kamsa heard it, there's a wild elephant in the city. Kamsa personally came there. Kamsa stood up before that elephant, grabbed the elephant, and threw it 80 yojanas away. It landed, it happened to land in the army of Jarasandha and kill a few of his soldiers, but the elephant was okay. And Jarasandha was super impressed. Who did this? Who did this? It was Kamsa, the king of Mathura. Then Kamsa, then he shall marry my daughter. And sure enough, so it came to pass. Jarasandha's daughter married Kamsa, and guess what was the wedding gift? You got it. An elephant. In this way, Kamsa got that elephant. And later, of course, Krishna performed some pastimes with that elephant as well. And then Balaram, after Krishna was done, joined into the fun. But that we will hear as the pastimes of Krishna will unfold over the next few days. So yes, demons, plentiful of demons. And all these demons, Agasura, Putana, Pralambasura, oh yes, Sakatasura, yes, Trinavarta, all these demons, They were subdued by Kamsa first. It was not just that they became Kamsa's allies. Kamsa forced them. He went to Agasura. He challenged him. Then in a fight, Kamsa wrapped his body around Agasura's throat. He grabbed his ankles and pulled tight until Agasura was choking. And then finally, Agasura! Agasura, will you surrender and serve me or die? Kamsa, I'm your surrendered servant. Each one of the demons was conquered by Kamsa. Kamsa. A nice chap. How Maharaj Ugrasena was a gentle soul. His wife Padmavati is known as to not have a lot of brain substance, but otherwise not a bad heart. No, it's true. In the stories, Padmavati always gets it wrong. She's well known for this. Whatever Padmavati thinks, okay, it's the opposite. Everybody knows. Padmavati, what do you think? That is the situation. Anyhow, Kamsa's mother. So how did a gentle soul like Ugrasena and how did Padmavati get such a powerful son? That is something, my dear devotees, that I will not tell you tonight. No, some suspense. I know you won't be able to sleep, but the whole night. But I'm going to tell about demons, Maharaj. Definitely. Yes. Well, since Maharaj is forcing me, then what can I do? When Chandramouli Swami twists my arm, oops, and at the moment, not too much twisting allowed, okay, the story is as follows. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, long before your mother was born, then what happened is... that Padmavati was living with her husband in Mathura very happily. But there was a but. You know, Padmavati, she was from the mountains. She was from the Himalayas. Ahaha. Yes, oh Himalaya. Mathura is okay, you know, but Himalaya. There you have mountains, real mountains with snow caps and beautiful, beautiful meadows. So she wanted to go to the mountains. You know how it is, even here you sometimes go to the Pohorya Mountains. Yes, I know. And they're older than the Alps. See? Yes, yes, yes. So she wanted to go, and to her father, because she missed her father. And she wanted to meet her father. And as she... So her husband sent her to go there for a while, and sent a whole entourage for her protection and some ladies to accompany her so that she wouldn't be alone. And one day, she was very happily there, high in the mountains, playing with the girls, and they had a ball, and they were playing with the ball. Just then, a Rakshasa was flying through the sky. When that Rakshasa saw that queen, he said, "Oh, look at that, look at that. The fruit in the mountains is very nice this year." He saw the red mark of marriage, but that was something that was not relevant to him. Nonetheless, he landed a little bit at a distance and inquired, "Who is her husband?" When he found out that it was Ugrasena from Mathura, moments later, there was Ugrasena. Ugrasena walked over the fields towards Padmavati. "Oh, you have come. Oh, my dear Padmavati, I could no longer tolerate the separation from you." At that point, and yes, the other girls left, and Ugrasena and Padmavati were alone, and they embraced. But only after she realized that this was not Ugrasena, because the touch was not Ugrasena's touch, a more heavy touch. But by then it was too late. And she said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Drumila." And she, of course, was very upset. But he said she was fortunate to have a son from him than from some weak human being. And in this way, Kamsa became a powerful Rakshasa. Yeah, and what else Kamsa did, that we will find out tomorrow. Now we are going to brush our teeth and all those things and prepare for tomorrow's Mangalarti. But yes, the earth was overburdened with demons. Bhumi could no longer tolerate. And Kamsa had subjugated many and had aligned with powerful demons like Jarasandha, an emperor who was undefeated. What more is to come? That will unfold over the next few days. And I'm sure Chandramouli Maharaj will tell us many interesting details about these matters. That would be wonderful. No, not now. Now we are going to brush our teeth. No, it's a good time. Mangalarti is very nice. So we welcome you all those who have journeyed from far. More devotees will come. I hope you are all comfortable, and if not, you know, I'm sure local devotees will make make necessary arrangements. This festival We've been celebrating here many years. Harinam Ruchi always comes. And in Vrindavan they say, if you do something once and it is good, you got to do it again. And then once you've done it twice, then you say, then it's too good not to have a third time. Said, once you've done something three times, then it's a tradition and it can never stop. Yeah. So I don't think Chandramouli Maharaj was here before. Maybe he was. Last year maybe. But otherwise usually not here on Jamastami. But yeah, once you do it once, Maharaj, then the second time, hard to resist. And then, yeah, I get the taste. Three times a tradition, they say in Vrindavan, it can never be stopped. Thank you all very much. Have a good night, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Hare Krishna.